Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Chof Bey, the 22nd chapter in the book of Tehillim. This is a unique chapter in many ways. It is comprised of, in terms of structure, 32 psukim. It's a little longer than what we've been seeing in general on average up till now, and it is divided into two per sections. The first pasuk is the kotevet, is the inscription, and it is unusual in the sense that it goes as follows. Lamnatzeach, Alayeles Hashachar Mizmor David. This is a psalm which is said, which is sung, and that is to the Ayelet Hashachar, which is a confusing word, which is a hard word to understand, perhaps the dawn star. We'll see in a moment what that could mean, but that frames the conversation we're about to be having. So the first section, which runs from Psukim Beis to Chof Beis, is really a desperate call for help. This is where the Meshorer is reaching out in a most desperate way. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani, God, God, why have you abandoned me? The second section seems to be a commitment of thanksgiving where the Meshorer has been saved and is now describing how in public he will describe, he will praise Hashem for that salvation which he has experienced. It is interesting to note that the beginning and ending of these two sections are similar. So the beginning of the section of desperation starts off in Pasuk Gimel, where it says, Elokai Akra Yomam Veloisa Ane, I'm calling out in the day and you're not answering me. But the last word of Chof Beis is, Ani Sani, you have answered me. So there's a almost accusation that you don't answer me. At the end, there is a resolution of, you have answered me. Similarly, the beginning of the second section, it starts with in Chof Gimel, Asapra Shimcha Le'echai, I will tell your name to my brethren. And the end of that is Yusupar Ladonai Lador, that your name has been told already to those around us. So there's a sort of resolution in both sections. It should be noted that the Malbim views the inflection point of this Mizmor not being at Chof Beis to Chof Gimel, but really at Pasuk Yud Zayin. What is interesting is if you do read through this whole Mizmor together, you'll notice that there hasn't necessarily been a resolution. There's not been salvation between Pasuk Yud Zayin and Chof Beis in that in-between section. But the Malbim points out that there has been not a salvation, but an internal feeling of wanting to fight at that point in time. So meaning to say, when he describes being surrounded by dogs and all these animals that are trying to persecute him, he describes how Ka'ari Yodai V'Raglai, my hands are like, my hands and feet are like a Ari, like a lion, meaning to say he's willing to fight back at this point in time. It should be noted, not like the Christians would say, that it refers to their Savior whose hands and feet were penetrated when he was crucified. No, that's not the correct translation. What it refers to is how this Meshorer is willing to fight back against those enemies who are persecuting him. So then in a certain sense, we could put the inflection point, the changeover, either with the internal strength to fight back or at the point of the actual willingness to tell Hashem's greatness in public at Chof Gimel. In terms of the central theme, it's very clear that the enemies are merciless. Those who are seeking to kill him are likened to animals. They're dividing up his clothes already. They're mocking him and his trust in God. He feels completely abandoned, and perhaps in the most unique pasuk in all of Sefer Tehillim, in terms of its abandonment, is Eli, Eli, lama azavtani, God, why have you abandoned me? That is a very, very strong. There's a very big distance between the salvation and his call. This is a very, very desperate, very, very low feeling that the Meshorer is experiencing. In terms of trying to identify the events that could be behind this Mizmor, there are many vague descriptions about these cruel enemies, but there's no specific details as to who they could be necessarily. It is clear, though, that they are non-Jewish. It is clear that the people are not internal enemies of David HaMelech, but these are people who are denying not just David HaMelech's life and right to life, but also his theology and his belief in Hashem being able to save him. This is talking about an existential crisis for the individual, perhaps the nation, which is why Chazal actually expanded to be referring to an existential crisis of the nation as a whole. The Midrash in Tehillim and many Gemaras identify that, in fact, Ayelet HaShachar refers to the genocide planned by Haman at the times of Purim. This was when Esther was saying this. In fact, this is the prayer of Esther, the Midrash says, before she went to present her case in front of Ahasuerus, where perhaps her own life was at stake by going to visit him unrequested. The Gemara, in fact, in Yuma, Chof Tes Aleph says, that why is it, Lama Rav Asi would say, Lama nimshana Esther la shachar? Why was Esther compared to dawn? Lamar lacha ma shachar sof kol alayla af Esther sof kol anisim. Dawn is the end of the night, so Esther was the end of all miracles, which is a little funny because the imagery is almost the reverse, meaning you'd think that miracles would be compared to day and the lack of miracles would be compared to night, but it's the opposite way around. There are many Mephoroshim try to deal with this, and the Maharsha, in a very simple way, says all the miracles that happened in Jewish history were within the constraints of Olam Hazeh. The future miracles are going to be in daytime, which is going to be in Olam Haba, which is in a much stronger, much more incandescent experience. In terms of textual support for the idea that this mizmor is referring to the life situation of Esther, so first of all, just it is worthwhile looking at Psukim Chof Vov and Chof Zayin, which seem to indicate perhaps the four mitzvahs, the four commandments pertaining to Purim itself, and that is it goes Me'itacha Tehilasi BeKahal Rav. From you, my prayer will be in a great congregation, which refers to reading the Megillah. And then, Nedaraya Shalem Neged Yireovma, I will pay my vows in front of those who fear Hashem. That refers to Matanas Levyonim Mishlach Manas, where a person makes a pledge to give to others, to help others. And finally, Yochlu Anovim V'Yispo. Let the humble ones eat and be satisfied. That refers to the Purim Suda. So there seems to be vague reference over here to the miracles which will frame Purim, the four mitzvahs of Purim. And in fact, there seems to be some phrases which resonate with the experience of Esther. So for instance, Pasuk Yud Aleph is Alecho Hashlachti Merochem, Metanimi Eliata. She says that I've been thrown upon you, I've been almost your child God since I was born. That's because Esther, we know, was orphaned at a very young age. Similarly, she says in Tezayin, Yavesh Kacheres Koichil Shanim Mudbak Malkochai, that I feel like my palate, my strengths are sapped, and my palate is dry, like earthenware. This refers to a fast, a 3-day fast before appearing before the king. And finally, in Yod Tes, very clearly, Yechalku v'Godai Lohem v'Aluvushi Apilu Goral, they are throwing lotteries over my clothing. They're trying to really take what I have. Clearly refers to the lottery which Haman was throwing about the day of genocide of the Jews. So there seems to be some very specific references which relate to the crisis that Esther was experiencing, which leads us to a basic question, and that is that if this is about Ayelet HaShachar, which refers to Esther, then how could it be Le David? How could it be this is composed by David? David lived at the beginning of the first Beis HaMikdash era. Esther lives at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash era. We're talking about a gap of close to 500 years. So how does this work? Which leads us to this broader question in Tehillim as a whole. How is it that some of the Tehillim could be referring to events which are further away, further in the future? Rav Sadia Gaon explains that Tehillim are not prayers. They are nevuahs, they are prophecies. He is actually responding to the Karaites who question how Chazal, Anshei Knesset Gedolah, could create new tefillos when we already have Tehillim. So he explains that the Tehillim is not a function of prayer, but rather a function of prophecy, and therefore has to be referring to events in the future. It's a hard thesis to support all the way through Tehillim, but nonetheless it helps us here in the sense that David Melech is looking to the future when describing this. That's a very, very unique way of looking at this. Another way, perhaps, of looking at this would be to say that no, that David HaMelech had some sort of prophecy in this particular one, and he had a vague understanding of what would be, and ultimately it would be capitalized on later on and expressed in a more tangible and practical way when it was used by the people who ultimately actually experienced it. Another way of looking at this is that Le David could be added later on. It could be that David, when it says that David, it doesn't mean David HaMelech himself was composing it, but a later Meshorer composed this, whether it be in lieu of function of the way that David would sing, but nonetheless, the Le David does not necessarily limit it to David HaMelech himself. Where are the places in Tefillah that this appears? So Tosfos and Megillah on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph and the Vilna Gaon in the Nusach HaGra suggest that this is the Shir Shel Yom HaPurim. There would be a unique prayer which would be said on the day of Purim, and this would be this mizmor, and that would be what the Levium would be singing at the Karbonos on the day of Purim. And in Nusach Sfarad, it is also the Shir Shel Yom of Tanis Esther on the day beforehand on Yud Gimel Adar. What is, just in terms of the last word in the spotlight, and we'll close with this today, is what does the word Ayelet HaShachar actually mean? So the Mefarshim debate this. One suggestion is that it refers to a musical instrument which is played at dawn. That's just what it's called. Another option is it refers to the morning star, which is sort of like the last star before the night is out. It could also be a name of one of the names of Esther or Knesset Israel, who are radiant at dawn. It is famously said that sometimes the darkest point of the night is just as it gets towards the end of the night, just as dawn is about to happen, just when you think that hope hasn't appeared, that's when we get this spot of light, and that's the Ayelet HaShachar. This is Esther. This is our history. Although there may not be miracles anymore, we still remember looking back at this one and understand that this was our Kadosh Baruch Hu beckoning to us, giving us that last smile before we enter into a period where it's harder to see that incandescently. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.